So what exactly is saving faith, and what does it include? That question, which is very important, is what we're going to explore and discover on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. So glad that you've joined us. We are doing another episode of Question and Answer, where listeners just like you are getting their questions about theology and the Bible and faith answered by Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. You can get your questions answered by sending a message to our email, which is radio@faithalone.org. Okay, why don't we jump right to today's discussion? It's going to be a good one, so listen in. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
And this question comes to us from Scott. Now, we're often asked this question, but this one is a little bit different than what we're usually asked. Scott says, are all people who believe they have everlasting life because they believe in Jesus born again? So basically, they believe they have everlasting life because they believe in Jesus. And then he says, for example, let's say someone named Adam, this is not the biblical Adam, just some guy named Adam,
right,
believes he has everlasting life because he believes in Jesus, but he thinks that believing in Jesus means believing that Jesus was sent by God. And he gives another example, or what about Sam, who also believes he has everlasting life because he believes in Jesus, but he thinks believing in Jesus means believing that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. Are both these men born again? Now, what people usually ask is something slightly different.
Right.
People usually ask, let's say Adam believes that Jesus was sent by God, but Adam doesn't know if he has everlasting life or not.
Right.
Is he still born again?
Right.
Or Sam. Let's say Sam doesn't know that he has everlasting life, but he does believe Jesus was the Son of God who died on the cross for his sins. Is that saving faith? And we would say no, because if you don't believe that Jesus has given you everlasting life, and if you've never believed in him for that, then no matter what kind of historical facts you believe about Jesus, you still haven't believed in him for your salvation.
Exactly. Now, the big question with, is it Scott? Well, there's lots of things. First of all, when he says a person believes he has everlasting life.
Yeah.
He's not crystal clear that the person believes he has everlasting life, which can never be lost.
Right.
I've met people who say, I have everlasting life, but I can lose it.
Right.
Well, that wouldn't be a person believing the promise of life. So let's assume what he means is this person is sure that he's going to spend eternity with the Lord.
Right.
Because Jesus promises whoever believes in me has everlasting life.
Well, he doesn't say that. They just know that having this everlasting life is connected to Jesus. And so I think the mistake here is that if they believe that already, if they already know they have everlasting life, then they implicitly believe that Jesus gave it to them. And that's saving faith.
Right, I would agree. But let me give some bad examples. Let's say, for example, a person defines believing in Jesus not the way Scott's defining it by these other people, but let's say they define it as some sort of behavioral condition.
Yeah.
The person perseveres in good works until they die.
Right.
Or the person commits their life to Christ.
And a lot of people are confused about believing.
Right.
They think believing is doing.
Right. So if they think, I have everlasting life because I'm committed and surrendered and I've turned from my sins and I'm following Christ and I'm confident I will follow him to the end, so I'm confident I'll stay saved.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, that person isn't sure he has everlasting life. He doesn't really believe the promise. But secondly, even if he was convinced that God gave him some special revelation that he was going to persevere, he still doesn't believe the promise because he believes it's because he's persevering. Or because he's going to persevere. So first of all, the person has to have a right understanding of belief, which would be obvious for anybody if they weren't polluted by a lot of the traditions we've grown up with, where people now redefine faith to be basically works.
Right.
But let's say, okay, first of all, that it's just faith. And let's say, secondly, the person is absolutely sure that they have everlasting life by faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Then my answer would be yes, even if their understanding of what it means to believe in Jesus is faulty.
Or it's extremely minimal.
Okay, it's extremely minimal. Yes, they would be born again, but Scott hasn't explained it correctly. Because it's not just believing that Jesus was sent by God.
Right.
It's believing that Jesus was sent by God to give everlasting life to all who believe in him for that life.
And that's the problem with his examples. Because let's say someone believed that Jesus was sent by God. That doesn't tell you what he was sent by God for. I would say most religions in the world today respect Jesus enough to say, yeah, he was sent by God in some sense. A lot of people respect Jesus and think that he represents God in some sense, but they don't believe that he has come to give them everlasting life. And somehow the people in his examples do believe that, and so that would be saving faith for them. But it wouldn't be saving faith for the Baha'i or the Muslim or the Hindu who thinks that, yes, Jesus was sent by God, but they haven't believed in him for eternal salvation.
Right. Let me give you an example of where this really comes off the tracks, which is what you're talking about. I know someone I had a conversation with a number of years ago, and he said, anybody who believes that Jesus has been sent by God has everlasting life. Even if they believe in work salvation, even if they don't believe the promise of eternal life, they just believe Jesus was sent by God. So in the conversation with this person, I pointed out under what you just said, basically that would include every religion of the world.
Right.
And he later refined his view and said, no, I'm not saying that Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses would be born again because they believe Jesus was sent by God. But as long as you're basically within the Christian fold, you're not in a cult and you're not in another religion, then as long as you believe Jesus was sent by God, you're born again no matter what you believe about how you got it.
That's what this guy was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And my answer would be that that's essentially a form of universalism. This person said in the Old Testament it was different.
Mm.
You had to believe in the existence of God in the Old Testament. And everybody who believed in the existence of God was born again.
Right.
And so in those views, it would be very odd. So it seems to me what we need to do is get back to the scriptures. John 3:16 is where Jesus is speaking and says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," talking about himself, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Perishing is defined in verses 17 and 18 as being eternally condemned.
Right.
Having everlasting life is having everlasting life. It's having an eternal relationship with God that can never be unbroken. Jesus promised that to everyone who believes in him. And so, obviously, it's believing in him for that. So,
right.
Scott's question is a good one, but it's tricky.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bottom line is, if you believe in Jesus for eternal salvation, you have it. You know, and if you believe other truths, like he was sent by God or that he died on the cross, those are good. But the key is that you're believing in him for the life that he promises.
And let me make one other point, because I didn't talk about the other example he gave. Someone who believed Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again, and they believe they're saved, fine. But what if they believe Jesus died and rose again, but they think that gives them a good start? Right. That gives them probation. Now,
right.
If they hang in there, they're going to keep their salvation.
Right. Or like the Mormon who believes that the atonement basically just gives people the chance to get to godhood through their own efforts. That's very different from believing in for everlasting life.
Right. So those who say, and I've heard people say this in the Grace Camp even, they'll say, anyone who believes that Jesus died and rose again, and typically they'll add in and is God in the flesh. They'll say all those people are born again, even if they believe in work salvation. Even if they've never believed that simply by faith in Jesus they're born again, by virtue of the fact they believe Jesus died and rose again and is God, they're born again. Well, it seems to me that is contrary to John 3:16, John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You name the passage.
Yeah. All right. I have another question here from Dave, and Dave asks, given the view that 1 John contains tests of fellowship, which is my view, not tests of salvation, do you think the opponents, antichrists, against whom John is writing are saved people or not? Just for background quickly, some people read 1 John as if John is giving us tests to see whether or not you're really born again. And we would argue that what 1 John is about is really tests to see whether or not you are in fellowship with God, whether
right.
you have a good relationship with God and actually know him in your experience. And so Dave's question is, the people whom John is writing against, are they saved people or not, in your view?
1 John 2:19 is one of the ones people often use. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. And people use that to prove they weren't born again. I think all that proves is that the people did not agree with the apostolic doctrine being taught in the Jerusalem church, and so they left. That doesn't say they never believed in Jesus for everlasting life, or even at the time they left, they didn't believe in Jesus for everlasting life. They were heretical on some points, and so they left. Now, my best guess is these people were not born again. First of all, a person can be born again and then become confused, mm-hmm. so they could be in that category. Secondly, a person could be born again but off on a point of doctrine. For example, the resurrection. In 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 2, a guy named Hymenaeus was teaching there is no resurrection.
Right.
Well, that's heretical. Even if you taught that by faith in Jesus we have everlasting life, if you said we're going to be disembodied spirits forever,
sure,
that's heretical.
So the language that John uses for these guys is extremely negative.
Well, Antichrist is pretty
negative.
Antichrist
is pretty negative.
And he calls them liars and they're deceivers.
Right.
And they're trying to make the readers not believe they have everlasting life.
Right.
1 John 2, 24-26. That strongly suggests they're not believers. But I think the questioner goes on to say, but this could happen with a born-again person.
Right.
And that I would agree with. In other words, we could have people today who are teaching false doctrine, but who are born again. In fact, in my opinion, many of the people who teach what's called lordship salvation at one point believed that simply by faith in Jesus they had everlasting life, and so they're born again, but now they're teaching false doctrine. So my encouragement for each of you is that you stand firm on the promise of everlasting life that Jesus makes. If you are confronted by false teachers who are denying the promise of life that Jesus gives or denying that Jesus came in the flesh, that you would confront those people and, of course, not let those people teach in your local church.
Thanks, guys, for that great discussion on saving faith. I know that we need that kind of clarity. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss whether or not born-again people can fail morally. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.